Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, welcome to another week of From the Terraces. Always a difficult one, this international break, but it was non-league day, of course, so I went down to see Histon play. And actually, go and watch. I just saw the best game of football I've seen in ages yesterday at Histon. Such a good game. Just to be uncooperative, Cambridge City didn't have a game on non-league day. They played their this week's game 2 weeks ago, because otherwise they'd have had to play it on a Sunday. So they were without a game yesterday. They've got Rushden and Diamonds. Big game for them on Tuesday. Spoke to Robbie, got quite a bit from him. We'll also be playing an interview. Johnny Hurd is just come to Cambridge City from dual registration from St Ives. Big addition to the side. Been injured so far this season, so hasn't played much. We'll be talking to, I mentioned that to Robin, we'll be talking to Johnny himself. I think I called him Hyde then. It's Hurd. I don't know why I said Hyde. And in the women, it's Wimbledon for Cambridge City. That's going to be a really difficult one. We spoke to Dean Grey Goose about the week they had last week, with two key games in a win and a loss. They've got some hard games coming up if they're to save their place in the league. And then Cambridge United not playing this week. They're playing next week, sir. But I did talk to Dean as well. Darren, come on, I'm getting everybody's name wrong at the moment. So we talked to Darren and he had plenty to say about the end of the season as well. And you can have plenty to say as well if you want. I'll get your name right possibly as well if you leave it with me. It's 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490, or studio@cambridge105.co.uk. studio@cambridge105.co.uk. Leave me a message and we will get onto it straight away. Thanks very much. But, well, although there was no football, we will start, as we usually do, with Cambridge United. So, complete blackout, news blackout at the club this week. Couldn't even get to talk to them about a background piece to fill the fact that there was no football at the Abbey or anywhere else for Cambridge United. I guess it probably had something to do with the last two results. It's been, how do we put it? I think a very, very difficult time for United over the last couple of weeks. It's just... we thought the Lincoln game was terrible, and it was, because it wasn't the fact that we lost. It was the fact that we shipped goals when we had probably the best goal difference out of the bottom six or seven clubs. That could be important. It was the fact that it just seems heads went down and we didn't have the heart to do anything in the second half. And it kind of surrendered that game, even though it was probably almost, well, not probably, it was almost certainly out of our reach anyway. And then we go to Reading, and like we said at the start, we couldn't really make it up, could we? The first goal was a Sam Smith goal made by Nibs. I mean, you know, it was written for that one, wasn't it, really? So it's the way it goes. But again, a heavy defeat, and a defeat that was marred by just poor play and poor defence and poor passing. And really, you know, 10 goals in two games, we haven't shipped that many goals. If you take out the Peterborough game, you know, they've not been high scoring games, any of ours. And we'd kind of got to the stage where we thought the defence were playing well, and it just all fell apart. And there's probably lots of reasons for it. I mean, missing George Thomas is obviously a big one. But I think, I mean, fans were how should we put it, unhappy on after the Lincoln game. It's not a long way home, fortunately, but it's not what you want to see your side get beaten 6-0. I actually joked to one of the Reading press people who was there when we conceded 3-0. I said, if we're not careful here, I could see this being 6 or 7-0. And he said, nah, it won't get that bad. And then we we watched the second half unfold. So, yeah, not exactly the nicest thing to watch. I missed the Reading game. Yep, good. I'm glad I did, because it wasn't really worth watching. The stadium's quite a nice one, but I'd already been there, so I didn't need it for my 92 clubs. But did you? Were you at either games this week? You missed them as well. Good on you. I think, you know, there comes a time when you just have to, you know, you just have to look at it and go, it was what it was. It was a terrible performance. And to be fair, Gary held his hands up for both games and said, absolutely unacceptable. It's just, you know, we had moments where we looked like we can play, and we had moments where we looked like, and he called some of the defending in the Lincoln game schoolboy football. And it was that was the thing, is it's we were leaving people, we were moving across, when we were moving one way when they were moving another, trying to open the game up, and they then moved it out to the side and put the ball in and attacked us at will. And I think it was just, I'm not a great tactician, but the players just didn't seem to be, you know, reading the same playbook. I don't think it was very odd. Admittedly, we struggled to cope with the formation they came out with until we actually kind of mimicked it, and then we played a little bit better. But all in all, it was just a fairly poor performance. I'm just going to get, I've forgotten that I hadn't rung Matt up, so I thought he might be listening to this. I even faded his microphone up, but of course he's not even there, because I haven't rung him yet. So let me just ring Matt and then remind him not to swear live on air, because I'm sure he will if he's given the chance. But hopefully he'll answer the phone. Hey Matt, just remember, you're live on air, please, no swearing. Go on, I'll start you off at Lincoln. We'll go from, I don't know whether it's bad to worse or bad to, you know, I don't know what to make of it really, but two performances, 10 goals shipped is just not good enough.
Yeah, no, I said to Daniel last week as well that the performances were, you know, completely unacceptable. And as you say, no 10 goals shipped within the week, and you know, no real lack of, you know, cohesion in the team. Defensively, incredibly poor. Very, very soft goals that we've given away in both games last week. And on the attacking threat, I mean, you know, again, there was a chance or two in both games, really. You know, the Reading game was probably the one where we should have got back into it, you know, at least at 2-1. The Lincoln game, I mean, we were just completely and utterly blown away, weren't we? But, you know, they were a very good side, Lincoln. Let's not take anything away from them. But, yeah, two incredibly, incredibly poor defeats. And, you know, after yesterday's set of results as well, with Port Vale getting the win, the pressure's well and truly on now. And, you know, we've got to react. And hopefully we've been working hard in training this week. And, you know, then a little bit of next week coming ready for Friday's game away at Barnsley, because we need to see a reaction from those results, don't we?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is we'll be talking in a minute about the run-in, and this is the difficulty, because, you know, Barnsley probably aren't ideal opposition to come back from, especially when you then look at it and you've got Wigan followed by Blackpool as the next three games. It's not really, it's a very difficult run-in, I think, and I think it will be a low-scoring finish to the league this year. I noticed that if you go to the football web pages where they do the final leagues, I'm just doing this on the slot because it's currently pointing to Cambridge City, which isn't helping me at all. So let me just get the league table for this. Yeah, results didn't necessarily go our way either yesterday. Burton lost to Port Vale, and Carlisle managed to draw against Stevenage. But if I look at the league table now, we're just sitting above the relegation zone now. Burton have gone above us on goal difference, which is, as I said, shipping 10 goals. we're only 3 goals behind them, we'd be above them, and that could be really, really important at the end of the season. And if I go to the predicted table for the end of the season, it's probably, I wonder if we're actually in the bottom four yet. I don't know whether we will be. Oh yeah, we are now. So we are now on 44 points, seems to be the cut-off point according to the stats. And we're just missing out on it on goal difference, which I think we could live to regret shipping so many goals. But if you look, as I say, at the next 3 games, Barnsley, Wigan and Blackpool, you know, you've got third place, you've got, okay, Wigan are lower down, but you know they're hampered by the loss of points. I can't even see them in the, why my mouse isn't working, it's really annoying me. They are, when I can get to it, 13th, but minus 8 points, they'd actually be on 11th place. And Blackpool are on 9th place. We are going to get to the stage where this could go to the end of the season, and Port Vale away, Matt, you're probably not looking forward to that one.
Absolutely not. I'm really not at all. As you say, you know, 3 incredibly tough games, you know, and we've got Derby on the horizon as well. In a couple of weeks, but these first 3 games coming up, you know, not the greatest games, not the games that you particularly want after, as you say, you've been hit for 10 in the past 2 games. But you know, Barnsley aren't in the best of form themselves. You know, they've had a couple of shock results in recent weeks. You know, especially, you know, Lincoln beating them 5-1, you know, just, you know, a couple of days before they put 6 past us. So, you know, so they're not, you know, undefeatable. We can beat them, but we need to be a lot, lot better than what we have been. The Wigan at home is the game, because it's at home that you're probably targeting to get something from the game. You know, I think we're in the territory now, Tim, where it's got to be 3 points. You know, there's no messing about. I don't think points at home are going to equal our league position for next season in League One. You know, the home games are the ones that we've got a target to get maximum points from now, and anything away from home, especially from Barnsley and Blackpool, is an utter bonus. And if we can get something from those games, we'll have done very, very well indeed. But, you know, it's down to the players. You know, they've got to show that they're willing to fight, that they're willing to battle. As I say, hopefully there's been a few home truths told, you know, after this week, and they've had a bit of a rest as well, which might do them a little bit of good. And yeah, they're going to hit the ground running, because there's a lot of games in very quick succession. Because I think, as you say, that Port Vale game is looming large. It could be the decider if we stay in this league or not. And I think it's the end of April, isn't it? The 26th or 27th of April.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, it's under a month away now. So there's a lot of football to be played in a short space of time. And, you know, they've got to go out there and prove to us that they're good enough to keep us in this league now.
Yeah, it's going to take the same, you know, we're going to have that same lift in form as we saw at the end of last season. And hopefully, you know, the break in terms of personnel will do us a favour with Fajiri was close, and Ahadmeyer was close as well. And perhaps they'll come back, perhaps they'll make a difference. But Slim, we just ended up, obviously don't want you to give any secrets away, not that you would, but When a team falters like that, and okay, a one game blip is just, sometimes those things just happen, but that's a 2 game blip, and they were serious blips. How do you start bringing the team, A, first of all, lifting them to say, like, forget it, we've got to get on with the next games, those are the key games now? And how do you bring back a semblance of togetherness within a squad that looked, to be honest, quite broken?
I think the task is really difficult, to be honest. Like, nobody wants to be in that situation. It takes really good characters within a dressing room to make sure that the other characters that will be a bit, let's say, less familiar, a bit more inexperienced, manage to get through that tough period, because it is a period of adversity. It also takes good management, and that doesn't just mean like the likes of obviously Gary. It means all the supporting staff, all the staff at the training ground, everyone that is contributing to the winning environment that they want to create is doing so in a positive manner and maintaining that positivity, because at the end of the day, the only people that can get themselves out of the situation are the people that can actually affect it, if that makes sense. So making sure that everyone just keeps going and, you know, keeps their head up and stays positive, even though it's really difficult. You can say to someone, oh, you know, keep your head up, stay positive, because it's, and then you lose 6-0. Like, it's really difficult. But you have to be, like, in general, as a football player, you have to be quite level-headed and rational and just go, you know, okay, that happened, but we've still got these games ahead of us that we need to do something in now. And the nature of football and it being quite fickle is you lose 6-0 and then 4-0 and then you put 3 good results together and people quickly forget.
Is that a promise? I'll hold you to that one.
People quickly, you know, they forget that situation that you're in. So things change really quickly, and it's, you've almost got to be the optimist all the time as a player, as difficult as it is.
Yeah, and Matt will know this. I think I'm more of an optimist than him. It took me a lot longer. We were both wrong last year. In the end, we both felt it was too big a mountain to climb. Matt went just a couple of games earlier than me. But Matt, we are in a better position now than we were in this time last year, apart from the look of the running.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, Tim, is that, you know, the running this year is a lot more difficult than what it was last year. You know, we were dealt a kind hand last year, really. As you say, I thought we were down by, you know, sort of Christmas time. This year, I don't know. I don't know whether it's something to do with the players, whether our luck has run out, or what it is, but right now, you know, I know we've got the players that can do the job. You know, there's some really good individuals and there's some really good players in this team. As a squad, you know, they are a good bunch. There's no doubt about it. You know, we forget that, you know, Mark Bonas at the beginning of the season brought these players into this football club, and he, you know, he always brings in good characters. You know, it went horribly wrong for Mark, but, you know, those characters haven't gone away, you know. And yes, I know Neil brought in a couple of players before he left to Millwall, but, you know, they seem to have fitted in quite well with the squad, from, you know, what you hear. And I know Salim's done his interview with Lyle Taylor as well. So, you know, but they need to shake themselves up. You know, it's down to them now. They are the players. They are the people that cross that white line on that, you know, as it be Friday, Monday and Saturday in the space of the week. And they've got to show us now that they are up for this. You know, they're fighting not only for contracts for next season, but they're fighting for this football club. You know, for those players that are out of contract, yeah, OK, they can go and leave the football club if they don't want to play in League Two with us this year. But people will be watching them, and if they've got relegated this season and they've gone down without a whimper, you know, people won't want them. You know, they'll be questioning, you know, their ability. They'll be questioning, you know, their mentality, which, you know, they'll be looking at them and can we rely on them in those big moments. So, you know, this is a big period against some really good teams, like, you know, some really, really good sides, you know, most of them in the top half of the table. And, you know, yeah, I can't stress enough, but, you know, right now, if you had to ask me right now, it looks like we've run out of everything. We just look like we've run out of legs. We look like we've run out of energy, ideas, and the squad looks beaten. It looks shot, and conceding the goal, we just look like we're going to lose the game. So I want them to prove me wrong. And they've got, eight games now, or 9 games maybe, to prove me wrong. And I hope they do prove me wrong, because, you know, at this point in time, Tim, I have to say, I think we're going to get relegated. I don't like saying it. Yeah. And, I don't want to get relegated at Port Vale. So, you know, if we're going to go down, let's get it done before then. But, you know, big game Friday for sure.
Yeah, Salim, you wanted to come in here.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I had a question for Matt, actually, just out of interest, and I'm about to fire off a lot of information to him. I was going to ask you, which club you think has the toughest running this season, between, I've got Port Vale, Burton and Cheltenham. obviously as well as us, if I just fire off some of the fixtures, Port Vale have got the likes of Bristol, Northampton, Peterborough, Wigan, Exeter, Wickham, ourselves and Bolton. And then
so they've got one easy game in there.
Burton have got Wigan, Oxford, Barnsley, Stevenage, Cheltenham, Fleetwood, Reading. And then Cheltenham have got Fleetwood, Exeter, Leighton, Carlisle, Rovers, Burton, Lincoln, Stevenage and Peterborough.
That last on that Cheltenham one sounds quite nice.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I wish we
had that one, and that's probably the one that we definitely like. Burton had all the bigger teams, didn't they? Peterborough and
Burton had quite a few. Yeah. Wigan.
I mean, yeah, that's a horrible one. That's on par with ours, probably worse than ours. In fact, in fairness to them, and then Port Vale. I mean, you looked at that new manager bounce, which didn't come for a long, long time, and you thought to yourself, oh, let's hope it doesn't come, because, apparently they've been even worse than us, and I don't know how that's been possible. but the problem is that they've won a game of football now, so suddenly they've got that little bit of, drive behind them, and that sort of, that winning mentality. Obviously, I don't know if they're playing midweek, Serena, you can tell me in a second, but if they are and they lose that, everything's gone again. So, as I say, I think Cheltenham have got a very nice one, and that worries me a little bit. The other ones are, very, very similar, but the problem is, what's our losing streak now? Are we six defeats in a row? Five defeats in a row? Five out of six, maybe?
It's quite a lot. I'll come back to that one in a second.
That's the thing. If we'd have been picking up a point here and there, I don't think, I wouldn't have been too fussed, because it shows that we can get something out of games. But after, that Northampton game is something that, we drew the game. We got something out of it. But you wanted something more. You wanted the 3 points, and you just felt if we'd got the 3 points there, the buffer would have been a little bit better for those games afterwards. Whereas, we managed to draw it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we take two really big hidings that we couldn't afford to take.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look over the last 10 games, we've got 4 points, one draw and a win. And that's all we've managed. And the win, obviously, was the Carlisle win. The draw was the Northampton game. Other than that, it's been a tale of where we are, bottom of the form league over the last ten games. Even Carlisle are above us. Port Vale they've just got a win. They've had three draws. Other than that, Burton have had two wins a while ago. One draw. They've lost the last four. I guess the only saving grace is there's a lot of clubs in poor form. It's just a question: are there four of them, or are we just one of those four, and we're all going to get relegated? But we shall see. We shall see. Matt, thanks very much for joining us. I think for me the most important thing this week is I actually don't care whether we win or lose or draw against Barnsley. I just want to see a team that looks like they want to play football, because I think that's what we need more than anything. Yeah, it would be great if we could get a point, but it is an away game. But I would just settle for a team that you look at and think, okay, this is looking a bit like the recovery at the end of last year. Let's see where we go from here. But Matt, thanks very much for joining us. We shall talk to you again next week. Cheers.
Take care, guys. Bye.
So there we are. It's not ideal. It is what it is. I am optimistic. I think if we can show quickly that we've learnt from those last two games, then I think there's a chance. If we get players back, I think there's a chance. If everybody does worse than us, which is always a chance, then I think we can get there. But I really, really don't want to go to Port Vale on the last game of the season. We went through the pain of it last season. To do it away would be much more difficult, and to do it against Port Vale, although that was, I think, the starting game of our recovery last year. But we don't normally have a great record against Port Vale. But there you go. We'll take a quick break and we'll start to talk about non-league football. or I will do when I press that. City Centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Chris, three... That was really weird. I actually pressed something completely different. Chris, the interview that I was just about to play came up. I was trying to play the Histon music, which has now disappeared from the board. Oh, well. So it was non-league day yesterday. They always does. They always do this in the international break, and it worked quite nicely for them that United didn't play. There were a lot of United shirts there, which is always good to see. And I think it's a very clever way of marketing the game, and it just worked absolutely perfectly for Histon because it's the best game I've seen in a long time on league places. Not good. I think it's second against 12th, but as far as form goes, Elston Park and Histon are the two form teams. They're first and second in the form table. And that was the game we got. We got a real battle. Two big number nines. Matty Hayden's on fire at the moment, having just scored a hat-trick. Looking really good. There was some poor defending at times, but, you know, that's kind of what you expect a little bit. The worst thing about it was the refereeing was atrocious. I think he'd got this very theatrical play on wave and he just wanted to practice it, so he didn't, I don't think he understood what a foul was. In fact, his first real attempt at it, I can't remember who it was got booked for it, but he slipped and kicked the ball away, and it was a genuine slip and he kicked the ball away, so he called him over and gave him a yellow card for it. You just see, he fell over. Everyone in the ground could see he fell over. Even the Elston players were kind of laughing at it. And I know that, you know, the standard of refereeing drops as you move further down the leagues, the same as it does here. And I know that it doesn't necessarily even start from such a high level at league championship and League One. But he really, really did his best. I think he was so desperate to get the game flowing that he forgot that actually sometimes you have to blow for the whistle because someone's gained a clear advantage. But it was a fantastic game. This is what Chris had to say following the game. Chris, 3-2 win, and the two informed sides of the league come together, and it was a really, really good game.
Oh, it was a brilliant game. You know, I've had so many neutrals already just come up to me saying, what an amazing game, and it really was. You know, the thing we knew about them, you know, I watched them myself, and I think they're the best team that I've seen this year, and they're very attack-minded, and they score a lot of goals. So we knew today we need a little bit of luck. And we also knew that we had to be at our best. And at times we really, really were, you know. And Guy, young guy at the back, that's his first start from the 18s today, you know, alongside him. Josh, who's 18, you know. Matteo in the middle of the park, 18. I think we had 5 18 and younger out there today. And they've been absolutely brilliant, you know. Ran through a brick wall. And you could see what it meant to him as well at the end. And that's the big thing, you know. And I was delighted for young Ellis, you know, with his free kick. I mean, he's such a good lad. And well, look, they all are. It's just, do you know what? Non-league day, anyone coming here today would have thought, I want to go back. I just thought it was a brilliant game of football.
It was, and I think it was a you go behind on a goal really rather against the run of play, possibly you know, slightly off defending in terms of picking the man up, but that's the way it goes. But immediately you come back, and then really they're chasing the game, really.
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest criticism I've had of our boys at half time was just the second goal they got. We were too deep and we just scored, and I think we just switched off. And I explained to them that, you know, to get something out of the game against a team near the top of the league, you can only switch off once, and that's if you're lucky. If you switch off a second time, then you're in trouble. So I felt second half we were in control, probably till about the last 10 minutes, probably the last 5 minutes when they could have had a penalty. I'm not going to, you know, if I wasn't giving it, I'd be upset. But do you know what? I thought we deserved it. I thought we deserved the win. I thought we deserved that decision, just through the fact that we gave absolutely everything. And just, you know, it's just when you see the supporters as well, you know, they've really bought into what we're doing, I feel. I think just under 250 here today, and I don't imagine anyone, apart from obviously the away team, will be going away disappointed, because it was such a good game. You know, and I'm probably repeating myself, but, you know, I just thought it was a really enjoyable game to watch.
And a battle of two big, strong number nines. Matty Hayden's on fire at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I keep saying to Matt, he's scoring goals, and I'm giving him 9 out of 10, because I keep saying, I think you can do more, you know. And I said the same to him today, you know, he's doing really well, but I think he can do more, you know. I thought he could have passed the ball when we had a guy through there. But do you know what? It's, we've given him a platform, and he's playing well. You know, a few people, I'm not going to say when I signed him. There's a few people that said he's been here before. Will he deliver? Well, he's delivering now. You know, people are getting their papers on time, shall we say. So, but he's a good lad, and he's just one of, you know, like today, I think we had used 14 lads that really just gave everything, and Matt's included in that.
And chatting to fans beforehand, I think a game in the end that epitomises the change that's happened at Histon, a team that concedes an early goal in previous games, that would have been it. Heads would have gone down and there would have been no result. But it didn't even faze them. They fought back. They fought strongly all through the game. And as you say, at the end, it showed how much it meant to them with the reaction.
Absolutely. You know, it's the one thing we have done is I keep saying to the boys, you can't keep going behind. But when you go behind, the important thing is to score the next goal, and that's what we've done today. And then we got the next goal, which obviously helped. But I just feel that they started the game, I thought we started the game well. They got their goal, and you sort of felt that there was one or two moments where I thought they could have possibly caused us more problems. We hung on in there, got two good goals, gave away a soft goal, and then second half, like I said, I thought we controlled it. But we do concede goals early. It's not something I'm happy about. It's something we want to try and address. But if you keep coming back and winning, I'll turn a blind eye for a short time.
And you're in a really strong position in terms of you've got a lot of youth there in the side that to develop for next season. You've now got the luxury of being able to do some real good preparation. We talked about this last week. Now you're in this position to give people a chance to promote people into the side. And just to look at what you've got ready for pre-season next year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's I want us to finish as high as we can. You know, our aim when I came in was to stay up. We've done that. I'm gutted still about the Wisbeach losing on penalties, because that really hurt, because I felt it was a competition where I stood a chance of winning. But what I've liked about us and the boys since then is that they've not let the season stop. They've really shown a hunger and a desire that I love about them. And I really have been so impressed with some of these young lads. And I think as a football club, you know, we talk about pathways and everything. It's what's important. You know, it's also as well, it's the right thing. You know, it's as a football club, do you want to go out and sign experience, been there, done that players? There's an argument to say Matt Hayden's done that, but you need a little bit down your spine. We did miss Max York today, and I thought that showed at times with his, you know, probably with the second goal more than anything else. But I'll always back youth. You know, as a manager, I'd rather be criticised for picking youth team players than I would journeymen. You know, so that's a big thing for me.
And you were out just before the start of the game, training with, I guess, under 14s, under 15s.
As a manager, I think it's a big thing. You know, I've got good coaches, I've got a good management team, and we have our roles that we have to do, so it's like it doesn't interfere with our process. But I want the young lads to come and watch us play. You know, I want us to conduct ourselves properly. I want to create a family environment that the club can actually have people come through the door and know that, I'm not saying this has happened before here or anywhere, but you know, you don't want to be using language on the sideline you wouldn't say in front of your mum or your granddad. So for me, I'll always back young, hungry lads who want to be here, who want to work hard, and hopefully, you know, take the club forward.
And as you say, the weather, indifferent weather, it's nice now. It was nice at the start, but it didn't half rain in the middle. Great to get so many people out here.
Absolutely. Like my granddad always used to say about the English weather, if you don't like it, wait a minute. You know, so for me, yeah, the weather was... I wasn't expecting to be as sunny for as long as it was, so the sun's certainly shining now.
Yeah, it is, and it's really interesting, the parallels between City and City and Histon. I think, you know, Lance Key was a legend, much loved at the club. He'd had such a good run with them, promotions, relegations, and just generally getting a lot out of the club, and it all went wrong for him in the end, unfortunately. Chris Nunn comes in, and it was a difficult one because his record as a manager was terrible at the time he came in, but he's really turned it round. They're playing like a different club with largely the same personnel, or new additions are all from the juniors, the under 18s ranks, which is a really good way of doing it. Still got a long way to go, but at least now they're looking at well, they are safe, they're not going to get relegated now, and they can look towards the end of the season and playing some things, playing around with the formations, playing around with people who are in there to try and get an idea of what's going to happen next year. So good for them. I think City, I know there's kind of disquiet amongst City fans and whether Robbie's run his time there. It's a really difficult one because they're not really in any danger of being relegated. Yes, they could finish a lot higher up, and I think Robbie needs to get them to finish a lot higher up than they currently are now in order to be able to, you know, move to Sawston and be there as the manager. But it's always difficult when you're a manager. You get to the end of the season and there is or isn't something to play for. And I think, in a way, neither Histon nor City, apart from preparation for next year, have got a great deal to play for. So it's just the way it is. So let's talk about City very quickly then. Spoke to, they didn't have a game yesterday because they'd rearranged the fixture previously to play Anstey a couple of weeks ago instead of on a Sunday. They didn't play, but they've got Rushton and Diamonds. I spoke to Robbie this morning. This is what he had to say.
So, Robbie, no game yesterday. You moved the Anstey Nomads fixture up to Saturday the 9th, so you were left without a game. Difficult, obviously, at this stage of the season, perhaps, to have a gap because you want to be playing and keeping sharp. But you've got Rushton and Diamonds on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. You know, we've had actually a really good week of training. We've been in Tuesday, Thursday, and we were in yesterday. So we've had a really productive week. Some of the lads that have had knocks and a few sort of slight injuries, it's given them a sort of a window of about 10 days to get ready for the Rushton game. So it's been, as much as we want to play every Saturday and we want to do that, it's actually been a little bit of a blessing, hopefully, that, you know, some of the ones that have been struggling with niggles and, you know, we're patching players up to play, they're now fully fit to play, you know, at full throttle now. So, you know, we're looking forward to Tuesday. Saw yesterday their result, and, you know, I'm sure they'll be absolutely desperate to put, you know, the 7-1 defeat yesterday right against us, you know, and we've got to be ready for that. You know, we've played okay over the last sort of month. I said to you about the Anstey result, you know, it was between the two boxes, we were very good. Coventry was slightly different in terms of the pitch but how we applied ourselves in the final third was really good. So look, we're hoping the rest has done us well. We've worked hard yesterday. The lads are, you know, they're buzzing to finish the season off as best as we can and finish as highly as we can, because, you know, there's a little window where we could potentially, you know, if results go our way and we get some positive results, there's a good chance that we could, you know, get up to near sort of 12th or maybe even 10th over the coming weeks. So, you know, we've got a lot of fixtures at home against teams that are in and around us. So they're very crucial to hopefully where we'll finish.
Yeah, I was just looking at the run-in and you've only got, I think there's the three clubs in the top 10 and four clubs outside of the top 10 in the remaining list to play. And you had good results in the reverse fixtures against four of them. So you're thinking it's possible. I mean, you're going to have to rely, I think, on results from other teams if you're going to get as high as 10th or 12th.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and you know, last season we finished at 14th, and people have sort of said, you know, what sort of happened this year? And it's just one of those where it's a very difficult league. You look at the clubs that are local to us, at how they've done in their respective leagues since coming down. And so, you know, teams have struggled dropping down. You know, your Histons are now picking up a bit, but Soham, St Neots are in the playoffs in the league below. But, you know, if we can maintain step four football for another season while we move into Sawston, I think it's crucial that, you know, it doesn't matter where we finish within that top, as long as we don't get relegated. I know people want to win every game, and I'm no different, but sometimes you have to be realistic in the resources we have available, what we're offering players. And I think anywhere from sort of where we are now to that sort of 10th line, I think about realistic for where we're at. So it's really important that, you know, we finish the season as positively as we can. And like you say, the results we've had against four of those teams have been really positive. So, you know, we've got two of those at home. So, yeah, we're looking to finish as strongly as we can. You know, we're coming into that last week of the registration window. So there may well be a bit of movement in and out, just because we're looking a little bit with an eye on next season in terms of who could be here and who might not, who definitely won't be here. So there's things like that that will progress over the coming days. But we're hopeful of bringing one in that people will know from what he did last year at step four, and hopefully people will look at that and sort of, with an eye on next season, the type of player that we're trying to sort of bring into the football club. So, you know, it's a funny time to bring players in, but when players become available now and they want to come in, it's a no-brainer for us to try and do those types of things. So, you know, we've got a big sort of week coming up after Rushton. We go, you know, Bedworth, Corby, and then Boldermere at home. Yeah. So we have four games within 10 days. Really important. So we need to just make sure that we pick up as many points as we can in that period. And then that allows us to look at one or two other things in the group that we might not have been able to look at if we haven't got enough points on the board. You know, we're excited by the next sort of four games because there's games in there that we feel that if we perform to the level we have done, then we're hopeful we'll get some positive results and bridge that gap to the teams that are further above us.
Yeah, and you mentioned with potentially bringing people in with an eye on next year. You had Johnny Hurd join on joint registration. He's been injured for most of the season. Is that with a view to next year as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Johnny's somebody that, you know, he looks after himself. He's had an unfortunate injury that's kept him out since October. Now, you know, I think it'll be up to Johnny what he wants to do. But the conversations we have so far are that he's keen to carry on playing as high as he can. And, you know, he's keen to stay with us. But a lot can happen between now and the end of the season. If St Ives come calling and he plays six of the last seven or eight games that they've got, then there may be a different decision that he makes in the summer. But at the moment in time, you know, Johnny's enjoying being with us. He's playing regular football. And I think that's what he wants. You know, he wants that regular football coming to sort of 34, 35. You want to be playing regularly as you come to the end of those sort of days. Not saying that they're going to happen anytime soon because he's a very, very fit guy and looks after himself. So, you know, players like Johnny Hurd, you know, for our level, you know, he's come in and he's started at left back and then we've moved him into central midfield where he just has a calmness and a way of getting people in the right areas and he keeps the ball moving and he does the right things that we want him to do. You know, it's great to have somebody now that, you know, since we lost Scott Bridges, somebody in the middle of the park that can dictate a little bit more in there. And you know, you've got Taylor Parr behind that. You've got Joe Welsh behind that. So the spine's looking a lot better than it was 4 or 6 weeks ago, you know. And we've missed Manny Dye as well for, I think it's 5 weeks now with tendonitis in his knee. So we're hopeful that in the next couple of weeks he'll be fit. And they'll give us another dimension in the middle of the park. So we've got some good options moving forward, you know, hopefully the lad that we're trying to bring in scored a lot of goals last season. And we're hoping that by bringing him in, he'll just give us that little bit of impetus to finish the season really well. And then moving on to next season, sort of keep the ones that we want to keep and know that they can help us progress in this level.
Yeah, City are undoubtedly have a lot of problems. The ground still isn't finished. They're not fitted out the building. There's still a lot of building work to be done. They have to be in by the start of the season. And I think everyone's confident that whilst other parts of the stadium might not be finished, like the bar area, which is obviously a huge problem because you don't want to, you're spending all that money and the first thing you want to do is make sure you're getting some revenue in. So still problems there. Hopefully they can climb up the table and Robbie can gain back some of the confidence in the fans that's been lost. You know, I wish him all the best. But we shall see. We mentioned that Johnny Hurd had joined from St Ives. Daniel Baker had a chat with him earlier on in the week. This is what he's got to say about the move.
Okay, so Johnny, it all kind of began for you at Southend professionally anyway. You've probably got some great memories there, including that Chelsea FA Cup game. It was your throw, Peter Clark's header. Just how special was your time at Roots Hall?
Yeah, really, really special. Obviously, as a teenager, I played a real good load of games. Obviously the Chelsea game always sticks out. It's always one that comes up in interviews and conversations, and I actually try and steer away from talking about it so much because people get onto me because it's always a story that gets brought up. But a memory that will be with me forever. And just playing, obviously I played I think 35 to 40 games at League One level, and we were up against Leeds, Norwich, Southampton, Leicester, some really, really massive clubs, and I had the privilege of obviously playing at all those big stadiums in front of all those fans. So yeah, something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
It's obviously sad to see what's happened at Southend now. They've obviously plummeted down the divisions. They'd had a points deduction, I think, last season or the season before. But your own career-wise, you seem to find your way towards Cambridgeshire sort of towards the end of that. And I believe it began at St Neots some years back.
That's right. So I'm actually from St Ives. So that's my hometown. Started off at Cambridge United as a schoolboy, and then a few of the coaches sort of moved over to Southend United and took a couple of us over with them. So that's how it all kind of started for me over there. And then ended up playing non-league for Ebbsfleet, well, National League for Ebbsfleet for a season. And then I had a really, really good 6 years at Bishop Stortford. and then sort of ended up getting a little bit more closer to home. So I ended up at St Neots, Peterborough Sports, currently at St Ives, obviously on dual register with Kings City. So, but yeah, obviously the older I've got, the less travelling I've had to do, which is probably a sensible thing to do, really.
Yeah, you obviously were playing non-league football at a time where the pandemic was quite prominent, so seasons were getting curtailed left, right and centre. You know, some leagues were being determined on points per game if you were lucky. How frustrating was it to be sort of playing in a situation where you didn't know what was going to happen from one week to the next because of the restrictions and how things were changing so rapidly?
No, yeah, it was really frustrating. I was at Peterborough Sports at the time and we were having a really, really successful season. I think we were sort of first and second in the league before it got cut. Luckily we had a really good FA Trophy run, but I don't know if you remember the cup games still went ahead, so we kind of had a game like every 3 or 4 weeks, so we still had something to sort of work towards and still had something to train for at the time, but yeah, it was a funny old time, even so, yeah, with the football and everything like that, it was uneasy, I could say.
Yeah, a couple of years ago though, a homecoming. St Ives is your hometown. You end up at St Ives Town, and you're now obviously dual registered with Cambridge City. So before I kind of come on to that bit, first of all, what was it like signing for your hometown club officially for the first time?
Yeah, no, brilliant. It was a no-brainer for me, really. I had the chance to stay at Peterborough, but they were obviously going up into the Conference North, and obviously getting older with work and things like that, the travel and that just wouldn't have worked for me. So, yeah, when Ricky came calling at St Ives, it was a no-brainer. The one thing that always put me off playing at St Ives was the pitch, but they ended up obviously getting the 4G in place. So that was obviously a big win for me.
Yeah, and now there's an interesting element because of dual registration. It means that you're still a St Ives player, but you're playing for Cambridge City. Now, what happened was, I believe on the first game you were involved with, you were signed, I think, on the morning of the game, and I think just hours after signing the paperwork, you were on the pitch. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's pretty spot on. I was, funnily enough, I was out playing. I was taking my mum to bingo on a Friday night, so I wasn't home, so he wasn't able to sort out the paperwork. So I actually had to drive to one of the director's house at 11 o'clock. Well, it was earlier than that actually. It was sort of early morning to sign the papers, and then I got signed on just before 11, which I think was the deadline. And then I was obviously in the starting team at 3 o'clock on the same day.
Crazy, absolutely. Yeah. A crazy situation, there's something that's actually really good about you coming to City is that you actually know Robbie and Neil quite well from a former life,
yeah,
I believe.
I've had a couple of spells at City. I had a loan spell after an injury just to get fit under Robbie, and I really enjoyed my time there. I think that always got a great changing room, a great bunch of lads, really, really nice club, well-run club. And yeah, it was a no-brainer to really take the opportunity again. I mean, as I've said, I enjoyed my experience with him before, so I'm back in now and enjoying it again as well.
In terms of the current deal you've got, so how does it work at the moment? Because obviously you're kind of dual registration with St Ives and City. Are you going to be at City to the end of the season, or has there been talk of staying on beyond that point, or how's that sort of working?
To be honest, I'm not too sure. So I think the first sort of idea was for me to kind of go out and get fit. Obviously, I haven't played since September. I've got plantar fasciitis in my heel. So I haven't played, literally since September, October time. So I've been out for a long time and I've not been able to do anything or get fit or anything. So I think the first plan was to sort of just get out, get games, get fit and sort of get ready to go back to St Ives. But the position I'm in at the moment, St Ives, obviously, if you probably notice, are getting results and doing well. So I'm kind of a laid-back, I'm in a laid-back situation where I just want to play football, to be honest. So whether that's for St Ives, whether that's for Cambridge City, I just want to be out there playing. I'm not getting any younger. So obviously, the more minutes I can get under my belt, the better it is.
It's an interesting. I've cut it short, and I'm hoping I haven't just cut the last bit off that I was just interested in. I mean, it's potentially a really good signing. He's got a lot of experience, obviously, as you heard, been unlucky with injury, but back at City now, at least until the end of the season. And as you heard Robbie say, you know, he'd be quite happy to take him on next season, and it seems that that's the way it might go, but obviously a bit too early to say anything at the moment. I was looking him up on the web, and I found something really interesting, and I swear, if this is wrong, I'm taking no responsibility for it, but according to his wiki page, which it's definitely his because it talks about his career, his playing career, his dad is Andrew Heard, who is an actor, and has played an Ewok in Star Wars Return of the Jedi, and has also played a goblin in The Philosopher's Stone, and I can't remember which was the other one, another one of the Harry Potter films. And then his great-granddad he won the US Open Golf Championship in 1998, so a really interesting family there. But hopefully that will work out. It certainly seems to be, and I think replacing Scott Bridges, as Robbie referred to earlier on, has been an important part of trying to strengthen, and whilst he was a left back, getting Johnny Heard to play in the middle seems to be working at the moment, so hopefully that will carry on that way. United Women aren't in action. They've got a while yet before they play again. So just City to talk about. City had an interesting week last week. They had two key games. They played Hayward Heath, who are in real trouble at the bottom of the league, only on 4 points. And they played Sudbury, who at the time were beneath them. They unfortunately lost to Sudbury, but they did beat Hayward Heath. But they've left themselves an awful lot to do. This is what Dean Grey Goose had to say when I spoke to him yesterday.
Darren, it's approaching...
Oh dear, that'll teach me. Darren, that was what Darren would have had to say had I had time to play that one, and we'll play it next week. This is what Dean Grey Goose had to say.
Dean, it was a full-on week for you last week, a Tuesday, Sunday week, and two key games. You had Sudbury on Tuesday, and that was unfortunately a 2-1 loss, although you did pull back on the Sunday with a 2-0 win against Hayward Heath. That leaves you a point behind Sudbury in that battle for the last relegation spot.
Yeah, I think ups and downs of football last week. I think we turned up at Sudbury. I think unfortunately we hadn't played for a few weeks, which hadn't helped, but we had trained well. I think we just froze on the night. And I think that was simple as that, really. Just one of them games where you know, any team, for some unknown reason, just don't turn up. Preparation was the same, but you could see in the warm-up, you know, we couldn't pass the ball properly in the warm-up, and we never really got ourselves going. You know, we went 1-0 down to a great goal, but that's probably the only thing we really did to right at the end. I mean, we could have got a draw right at the end. They cleared them off the line. But Sudbury deserved to beat us. They were far better than us on the night. And then we go to Haywards, where, you know, heavy pitch, away from home, long journey. We had five under-18s in the team. You know, I changed it up a little bit. And to be fair, we, from start to finish, we were the better team. Though, to be fair, Megan had to make a great save at 1-0. But, you know, we thoroughly deserved to win. So we're giving ourselves a chance, but kicking ourselves in the foot at the same time every week, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess that's it. You kind of didn't make a great start. It got a little bit better, but it's only in recent weeks since you've come in that they've actually looked like a team. That they're not hugely experienced, as you say. There's a lot of the young girls playing, but you probably kind of left yourself a lot to do in the final few games of the season.
Yeah, and I think it's make or break. And to be fair, like we spoke before, and I've spoken openly about it. You know, just after Christmas, we had a win, we got a draw, and we had games where we're playing well, and we just chucked points away. We just literally chucked it away, missing open goals and making simple errors at the back, you know, right at the end of the game. So we're in this position because our own, you know, it's us. You know, you can't blame referees, can't blame opposition, can't blame injuries or unavailabilities or pitches or bad luck. It's down to us, but it is still in our hands. It's going to be tough, but you know, the girls showed unbelievable attitude and confidence last Sunday. You know, they were brilliant when they turned up, and it's a shame we didn't play like that against Sudbury. But you know, it's a young group; they're going to be up and down.
Yeah,
and we know we've got some tough games coming up, but you know, I believe in this group, and if we can play like we did last Sunday or against Ashford, then I don't fear anyone in this league. I really don't. You know, but they are young, so we'll turn up tomorrow and let's see what team turns up. I mean, when we turn it on, you know, we're really good. You know, we pass the ball really well. You know, we're young. You know, the girls are young, fit. They're playing with a lot. You know, when like last week on a heavy pitch, some of the one and two touch football was brilliant. But it is going to be tough, and it's going to be quite nerve-wracking, I think, the next few weeks.
I mean, looking at it, you do have the advantage of a game in hand over Sudbury. They're a point ahead of you at the moment. But then you look at the run-in and you have to play Wimbledon, Norwich and Worthing, Worthing being the last game of the season. So that's the first, second and third currently. You've also got the Cambridge United derby and then London Seaward. Whereas you look at the Sudbury run in and they've got Haywards Heath to start off with on Sunday. So if that goes according to the way everyone will presumably think it would go, they could be 4 points ahead of you by the end of Sunday, which makes it really difficult. And looking at the fixture list, it could be that the City United derby is a key game now for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to look that far ahead. I mean, we just got to make sure we're competitive tomorrow. We've got Wimbledon tomorrow that are flying. I think they hammered the girl, you know, they hammered Cambridge City early in the season, so we've got to make sure that doesn't happen. But it's still in our own hands. It's just tough. We just made it tough. We've just made it really tough. I mean, you know, it's hard to explain it, but I'm still confident that we can get out of it. But, you know, I think it's going to go right down to the Cambridge United game. I really do.
Oh, there we go. I think it's going to be a real, real hard slog for them. I think because of their run in, you know, if we thought we had the bad run in, they're playing the top three teams in the league, including, you know, and those teams are so far ahead of everyone else that I think that's difficult. As I said, Sudbury in the interview have got Haywards Heath today, so if they win that game, which they're pretty much guaranteed to, then that'll be 4 points, and with the goal difference, they can't even draw level. They're going to have to get 5 or 6 points, and I just think that's a massive ask for them. If a more experienced team potentially would stand a chance, but I think they've got such an inexperienced team, and that's been part of the problem. Although they've stepped up the girls and played as well as they can, I think it's difficult. But we shall see. I'm actually going to go down to the second half of that game, and hopefully it won't be too bad by the time I get down there. But we shall see. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks to everyone for that. Hopefully 2 weeks or 10 days of closed shop training and no doubt some soul searching and some wringing of hands and perhaps even some shouting, who knows, will make a difference. And as I say, I'm actually ambivalent about the result. I think what I want to see more than anything is a team that looks like it wants to come out and play football, and hopefully we'll see that one, and then from there things will happen. But it is what it is, and hopefully we'll get there. So thanks very much to Darren, who I didn't play the interview. We'll play that next week before the game. Thanks to Chris, thanks to Robbie, thanks to Dean, thanks to Salim in the studio with me, and thanks to Matt for joining me on the phone. We shall see you all again next week.